Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Thursday. Hope you're not a Badgers fan and just got done watching the start and the end of March Madness for the Badgers. Obviously, we're here to talk about the Packers, but, you know, playoff losses, postseason losses, Wisconsin, the connection is undeniable. So we're here to solve those wounds by talking about the Green Bay Packers announcing their coaching staff changes for 2026. Obviously, there's a link you can check out there at cheeseheadtv.com with all the names, all the positions. Something that did catch my eye was two new assistant head coaches. That is a title that had been Rich Bisaccia's. Now there are two assistant head coaches for the Green Bay Packers, one on the offensive side of the ball in Luke Getsy, who will also coach quarterbacks, and on the defensive side of the ball, DeMarcus Covington, the former defensive line coach who is now an outside linebackers coach as well as that assistant head coach position. Interesting to note, two guys that certainly have had stops around the league. I think Getsy's done his best work in Green Bay. There's zero question about that, no doubt about it. Covington clearly coming over from New England, had that time as a coordinator, did good work with the defensive line last year, and now will be an outside backers coach. Also had a few interviews for defensive coordinator positions around the league during this cycle. He's sticking around. And yes, it's official. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I know there were some who were wondering, nay, maybe pining, hoping that the Packers would be moving on from Luke Getsy as their offensive line coach. That is not to be. He is listed there as the Packers offensive line coach for 2026, along with Adam Stenovich, who we've talked about here in the last couple days. That crew, that duo, needing to do much better work with their charges up front in 2026. But it will be interesting to see what type of responsibilities and or delineations will be given to Getsy and Covington as assistant head coaches. One would hope, with the announcement of the coaching staff finally ahead of schedule compared to last year, we might finally hear from Matt LaFleur and, more importantly, defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon for the first time this offseason. I know we'll hear from LaFleur down at the owners' meetings in a couple weeks, where we'll undoubtedly hear from Ed Policy as well. But Gannon, I would suspect, will finally have a press conference either, you know, early next week, maybe later into next week, but sometime soon we should finally hear from the Packers defensive coordinator, which will be nice. One thing that naming an outside linebackers coach to your staff clearly demonstrates and or points to is at least the presence of some 3-4 base looks. Don't, you know, find that surprising. Something we've talked about here on Packers Daily since the combine, when Brian Gutekunst point blank said there would be more 3-4 looks than have been in Green Bay in the last couple of years under Hafley. They will have certainly, probably most likely on early downs, have some 3-4 looks on Gannon's defense, which again, will be nice to hear from Gannon himself, hopefully coming up here pretty soon. That said, what's going on, folks? How you doing? Hope you're all doing well. Dennis is here saying hello to everybody. Hello, Dennis. Hope you're doing well, man. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. You put your heart into football, which is why ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care puts their full clinical resources into yours. From screenings to specialized treatment, get the expert care you deserve. Trust ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care to keep your heart game day ready. Proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? What's on your mind? Other than, you know, most of our brackets being busted, although it looked like Duke was about to pull it out. So that really would have absolutely put my bracket into flames. But, you know, they're certainly seemingly going to get away with this one. We shall see. Mike, how you doing, brother? So glad I have you, Cheesehead TV, to distract me from that horrible Badger game. Honest question, Nags, better to lose in the playoffs or not make it at all? I think that's a self-evident question. It's obviously better to make it. Now, the pain is greater when you lose that win-or-go-home game. Don't get me wrong, but you always want to make it because that means you have a chance to win a championship. No question about it. Because if for every, like, idea that it's better not to make the postseason, can only be spoken by folks who've never watched their favorite team go on an improbable run to a championship, which the Packers did their last time they won a championship. I mean, you talk about 96, that was one of, if not the best team all season long in the NFL. It was no surprise. I mean, they almost felt fated to win that championship. But in 2010, as a sixth seed, to go on the run they did, man, there's nothing sweeter than that. And yes, maybe it creates a little bit of false hope each and every offseason or every postseason when you're thinking, well, maybe we can do it again. And of course, it stings and it hurts and you hate it when you end up losing in the playoffs. But I'd much rather have the chance than not have one. I'll tell you what really sucks is, remember losing that game at home to Detroit with the playoffs on the line and then having to sit there the next week and watch the playoffs without the Packers in them? Whew, baby, I much prefer the Packers being in the playoffs. That is me. That is just how I roll. Your mileage may vary. Oh, I got my daughter texting me while I'm live. She's got to learn my schedule. My goodness. Mike says, Butkus being back is really frustrating. I'm going to push back on that a little bit, Mike. I understand last year was below the standard. They were poor up front. No question about it. But I find it interesting that no one ever sang Butkus's praises when the offensive line played well the previous years in his tenure. But now, one season below the standard line, so to speak, and everyone wants the guy fired. I completely understand LaFleur keeping him around. He's seen plenty of evidence that he's a good coach, a good offensive line coach. They've had really good offensive line play at times in his tenure. One bad season, and you're just ready to fire everybody? That's just not how I want my coach to operate, and I'm glad LaFleur doesn't. Again, I get last year was not acceptable. Has to be better. And that will clearly be a message throughout this offseason. I have zero doubt about it. But yeah, man, I've talked about it quite a bit here. I'm not surprised that he's back. We shall see what the product is like, especially with a lot of the same people up front. I mean, there's nowhere to hide, right? There are no excuses. But again, I'm not surprised. Menace says, and I think this is fair, I think it's completely off base to blame Matt LaFleur and Butkus and Steno, and very little to no mention of Goody. Miss after miss after miss after miss on the O-line during his tenure, minus Elton. Okay, I don't think that's completely accurate, but certainly when you've seen Jordan Morgan flailing around at guard, I understand the frustration. We don't know what Anthony Belton's going to become, though it does look like he could become a potential starter. You've got Sean Ryan, certainly looks like he is going to be a starting center for them. Like, I get he didn't come out of the gate smoking. Yeah. Make your jokes about him being suspended there at the end of his rookie year, what have you. But, you know, sometimes it does take time. And Zach Tom is another guy who, pretty phenomenal, already has a second contract. You know, it's like, it's always a mix, right? And sure, there have been misses, don't get me wrong, but this idea that they're bereft of talent is, I think, a little overblown. But certainly it would help if you would identify the talent correctly and play it in the spots it's best suited for, i.e. Jordan Morgan. It never sat right with me that they selected him in the first round, and then because they, quote, needed to get him on the field. Why? Because you took him in the first round? You played him out of position at guard, a position he just never really felt or looked comfortable in. You know, it's always a collection. It's always a mix. And that is why, again, I think I understand why LaFleur is not so quick to just pull the trigger on Luke Butkus. I think there's a lot of stuff there. Corey Krenz, how are you, man? Hey, Nags, did the Packers in the city of Green Bay resolve the issue of staying at Lambeau? Random Packer, Perry Kemp, also RIP Bob Harlan, legend. Shout out Bob Harlan, whose name will be added to the northeast facade of Lambeau Field. Well-deserved, obviously. As far as the city of Green Bay and the Packers, they are still negotiating. They're just doing it behind the scenes and not in public anymore. Mostly that is in a very healthy spot. Those conversations are ongoing regarding the lease, which is, I think, what you're referring to here. They haven't completely resolved that issue yet, but they are in a much better spot, a much healthier spot. And things are moving forward in that regard. That's the last I heard of it, which was at some point last year. Carrie, thanks for checking out the stream, man. Nags, I assume the first offseason work for the Packers after the draft. When is that? And that we might have a backup QB room at that time? Actually, traditionally, they've had the start of the offseason program prior to the draft, especially now that the draft is so damn late. Oftentimes, they will have the start of the offseason program, I want to say around last year, I think it started around April 14th or so. I could be wrong. That's just off the, again, that's guessing off the top of my head. But yeah, the vets, long-term vets, et cetera, I think will come in prior to the draft. And then they will have some kind of rookie mini camp after post-draft. And then they'll have kind of the whole roster, so to speak, in after that for OTAs and then into mini camp before the summer break. But traditionally, because again, the draft is so late, they'll start work prior to the draft. What else we got here, folks? David, you're not wrong, man. Sucks that the Badgers go out in the first round. It does, but thankfully I only had them winning one game and then losing in the next round. See, that's why I needed Duke to win, because if Duke lost, that would have really just blown up my bracket, especially after the Badgers lost and the Ohio State lost, two teams that I had winning but then losing in the next round. So I can survive that if, you know, Duke continues. When Duke gets to, like, you know, Sweet 16, Final Four, then it has my permission to die. What else we got here, folks? The man, how you doing? Maybe replacement refs won't ignore holding on Parsons. That is the most glass half full take on that I have ever heard. Man, I know they put that out there. That, again, is a trial balloon and trying to gauge public interest ahead of the idea of, oh, we might go into the season with replacement refs. I said it on Twitter. I'll say it again, man. If that does come to occur where they go into the 2026 season with replacement refs, I will be giving you reaction videos based off box scores and highlights, because there is no way on God's green fucking earth that I can sit through games with replacement refs again. Absolutely. And I'm not even talking about the fail Mary. That's a whole nother conversation. I'm just talking about the games with replacement refs. Like, I'd rather play Madden. I'd rather go watch a Madden tournament. I don't even need to play. I'll watch other people play Madden than watch the NFL with replacement refs. That shit is horrible. There's way too much going on and too much at stake money-wise for them to be putting a fucking replacement refs again. After watching what we watched those first, what, 2-3 weeks last time around with a replacement, to think we're just going to sit here and take that as fans? No. Absolutely not. Let's see what else we got here, folks. Jim says, just remember, if you catch the receiver who catches the ball, it counts as an interception. Yeah, don't remind me, man. Don't remind me. I can't handle it. I just can't. E4, how you doing, man? Thought, I realized I got nothing. Well, it is that time of year. I hear you, brother. I just, no shame in having nothing. It's the point of the offseason where, you know, free agency is dying down and we still got a ways to go before the draft. So, pickings may be slim as far as topics to bemoan or bring up. I understand. I get you, man. Mike, thanks again. Are we going to get an annual Nagler draft crush or mock draft this year? Random Packer, Packers legend, Philip Epps. Epps, is that twice now? Amazing. Yeah, we'll get the draft crushes video out to you. Probably, I want to say, 2 weeks before the draft or so. Again, there's so much time before the draft even is here. It's crazy. But yes, draft crushes are coming. Right now, I think I've got one. But yeah, obviously, I'm on the look for more. But definitely won't be doing a mock draft. I don't do mock drafts. But I highly encourage you to check out the stuff Newt has been doing here on the channel. Outstanding stuff, both the mock draft Mondays. He just did a big board mock draft for the first round to get an idea of of what that might look like heading into the second round, which is obviously where the Packers will be selecting. Plus, tons of great rankings on all the positions, tons of great scouting reports on all the prospects. Man, Newt is doing yeoman's work. Definitely make sure you check that out here on the channel. Braden, how you doing? You think X and Williams will have more takeaways and better production in this new 4-3? Well, I think you mean 3-4. Want to see X play center field again and get double-digit picks? Yes and no, man. I think some of the things I think we're going to see out of Gannon is a mixing and matching on the back end with the safeties as far as not just who's up and who's down, but who's getting after the quarterback and who's maybe dropping down to support, I don't want to say on rundowns, but adding numbers to the box and things like that. I think McKinney can play near the line of scrimmage just as well as Williams can. And I like having that kind of versatility. I don't know if they're going to just set it and forget it with, you know, having X deep in center field and just trying to erase stuff. Certainly we saw how teams just avoided him like the plague last year. And then when he did have chances, he dropped them. But yeah, I don't know if it'll be that simple and delineated. I do think, especially given what we saw out of Gannon's defenses in Arizona, I don't know so much about if he goes back to something more akin to what he was doing in Philadelphia, but certainly in Arizona, man, he had a number of safeties on the field at really interesting times and kind of utilized them, I want to say interchangeably, but really kind of differently than some other kind of looks that you've seen around the league. LaFleur talked about it a couple of times, both weeks leading into the Cardinals games over his tenure. He talked about how unique the defense was and how tough it was to go against. I do think they're going to do a lot when it comes to not just disguise, which is obviously a big part of what the NFL has become, but utilizing the safety position because they do have numbers there. You talk about, you know, not just X and Williams, but they also have Bullard in the mix. And I think Oladapo's got a chance to get on the field in some of these crazy four safety looks that we saw from the Cardinals if he brings that stuff over. So I just don't think it's going to be as simple as, you know, set him deep and let him roam. You know, I think somewhat that's kind of wasting his ability because I do think he's really good near the line of scrimmage. Go back and watch the Panthers game, as tough as that is at times. But they really got him involved near the line of scrimmage, rushing the quarterback, creating havoc on early downs. And I think that is something you might see a bit more of. And this is a lofty comparison, but you can see some kind of Charles Woodson-esque stuff from McKinney at times. And like the more you can do that, the more you can create doubt in the quarterback's mind. Where is he? What is he? Is he coming? Is he dropping? Where is he going to be? I think the more you can utilize that, the more disruptive he can be and the better off for the defense it's going to be. What else we got? Mike, thanks again. Any plan for an offseason transplants episode? Another random Packer. Packers legend who I got an autograph from at training camp, Derek Mays. Ooh, Derek Mays is a legend. Yes, funny you should ask. Packer transplants will return next week, next Wednesday. We'll be having return of Corey Banky into the fray as we discuss the Packers offseason up to this point. And then we will have another Packer transplants the night before the draft. So Packer transplants next week, and then another Packer transplants on April 22nd, I believe that is. We'll be doing a Packer transplants essentially once a month throughout the offseason. So Corey Banky getting back in the fray, people. Just be ready. Random Packer Bill Schroeder, amazing. Amazing. What about Bobby Babich? Yeah, what about Bobby Babich? What's interesting is that he was interviewed for the Packers defensive coordinator job when Halfley got the gig. So certainly, you know, that's a guy who has been a coordinator, has taken interviews as a coordinator. I really like that addition. I think it's one of the themes of this coaching staff this year is how many guys they have on staff who have coordinating backgrounds. I think that should help. You like the idea of being able to have an overview, having run a defense before, how things fit together, marrying rush with the coverage and things of that nature. I think that's a really nice addition. Definitely. Roy, this is a fair question. Pretend everyone is healthy. What is the starting defense as of now? Well, I think actually it's, I think that's, I'm not going to say an easy exercise, but I think it's a pretty straightforward one. You've got what, Parsons, Hargrave, Wyatt, LVN. And then you go back. It depends on what your starting is, right? But most likely, I would suspect you've got Franklin and Cooper. And then in the secondary, I think you've got, yes, I know no one wants to hear it, but you've got Nixon and probably St. Juste, if I'm being honest, as far as who I think is probably going to win the job on the perimeter outside of, you know, training camp, come through camp, etc. Though we've got some time to go. Who knows who they add continuing in free agency into the draft, but you said right now. So I think St. Juste opposite Nixon, and then you got Bullard in the slot, and then you got X and Williams in the back end. That's me just straightforward right now, as you asked, but I think we'll see how the offseason progresses and who they add, right? But that's who I think your starting defense would be right now. Mike, bring back Packard trivia after the draft? Not going to happen, Mike. As much as fun as I had hosting, it unfortunately did require a bunch of work on the back end from LiveX, which they're just, now they're just too busy. A lot of that came out of the pandemic. We were trying to keep people engaged, and we had a lot of producers hanging out with, you know, not a whole lot to do. So that was one way to get kind of, at that time, Cheesehead TV was very much a proving ground for young producers at LiveX to try and learn how some of this technology worked and things of that nature. But now they're busy doing real work. So unfortunately, it's a little tough to get Packers trivia off it, off on its feet without it. Oh, this is a good one. Did Duke didn't have some miracle collapse here? Okay, I'm just gonna make sure because people were trolling me for my Duke stuff. I don't think that's fair, you know. I think at times, all right, there we go. Okay, no. All right. Very good. Coaching talent is good. I tend to agree. Thank you very much. I don't disagree. Menace, oh God, I would love this. Bring back NFL Europe so they'll stop exporting our teams over there. See, what's funny about this comment, Menace, is that the reason they killed NFL Europe is because they were losing money hand over fist. And by taking it away, now they've got to keep that money, and now they get to add games and send their teams over to Europe, probably adding to some of the wear and tear, adding an 18th game. They're going to have, what, this year, 9 games overseas. Eventually, they'll probably have 16 games overseas. Everybody, every team is going to play at least one game overseas every year, and the owners are going to make more money, even though it's detrimental to the actual game of football. It's where we're at, man. That's the way of the world, unfortunately. Peter, do you think Matt Dodge should be in the Packers Hall of Fame? I'm going to go with no. Packers legend, perhaps, but no. Absolutely not. Marshall, how are you, sir? What position would you most like the Packers to augment before the draft? Whew, that's a good question. I tell you what, defensive tackle, I want Calais Campbell on the Green Bay Packers. I know it will never happen, but that's my dream scenario. I'll be saying it until he finally signs a deal someplace else. But that's who I think would just be an outstanding addition. And I know he's 100 years old, and I know it's very un-Packers-like, but he's an absolute marvel, and he would absolutely wreck shop up front. Still doing it. Even now, I think he's like 40 years old now. It don't matter. It does not matter. But yeah, like I said, I know it'll never happen. But that's my dream. All right, everybody, I gotta get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please, please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.